The fire may not open, but the devil will return. Insanity or glory in a mind that never learns. A moment of something where the dark can reverse. Tell the lonely where to go. Kill the excitement and let it burn. It's not the only will hold. Kill the excitement and let it burn.
Okay. Coming back to the second hour of In Plain Sight with Chris Hinckley, the Road Warrior, and Jeremy from Kentucky, your humble hosts. And if you missed it, we did hour one of In Plain Sight starting at 8 p.m. Central. Check that out in the archives if you did miss it. If you're just now tuning in, Mr. Austin has taken a little bit of a vacation, and Chris and I decided that we would discuss finish our discussion, or at least continue our discussion. We probably won't finish it on the misapplication of the Bible and how Satan uses that to destroy. And we're going to get into a lot of good stuff on this one. Further analysis of the sermon clip. Chris has sent some excellent videos on the Christian response to wokeness. We're going to get into, how the sexual revolution in America destroyed the family, destroyed Christianity, and how that was by design. Chris, thanks for joining me again on the second hour.
You're welcome, and thank you again for having me back.
So we were just commenting on that clip from Pastor Brent on the last hour. Do you have some more to add to that?
Well, two things I was going to say. You know, we could end the broadcast there, and I would also add, this is, you know, being facetious, but you know, the real broadcast is in the break. It's in the green rooms. Just kidding. But seriously, it's fantastic stuff. You know, just it cannot be overstated, this idea of selfishness. You know, I touched on this last week. I'll touch on it now. It's, you know, when we allow the misinterpretation, you know, it's like the Bible, New Testament, mentions over and over that sin, you know, the suggestion. I think I mentioned Tony Evans' sermon, his Detours series last week. The suggestion is not sinful. It's what we decide to do with it. And so if we're going to entertain it, that's when it becomes a problem. But if we're vulnerable, and I think, you know, the devil is masterful at pinging, basically sending a signal and seeing what he gets back. And that happened in the garden, for example. You know, he pings Eve to see if she understands what God's command was. She obviously does not. And so there's an opportunity for deception there. And I think in similar fashion, we make ourselves vulnerable in different ways that are somewhat obvious, especially to the devil and his minions, when we operate, you know, when we speak, when we act in ways that are, sort of self-absorbed. And the Bible tells us not to do this. Jesus himself, you know, told us in a variety of ways, in a myriad of passages, not to do that. And was humble himself, and, you know, was the, obviously, the archetypal figure of how we're supposed to walk humbly through life. And so just the idea of selfishness, it is so pernicious, and it's so subtle most of the time. But if we're paying attention, you know, not morbidly obsessed or neurotic, but just, you know, vigilant, wise as serpents, gentle as doves, that kind of thing, then, you know, hopefully we can spot that deception, the, as Pastor Brent put it, the improper application of Scripture. And I would just add, particularly in a self-directed sort of fashion.
One of the other things the sermon brings up, and we can play that last 4 minutes or so if you want.
Sure.
Maybe we could. You know, one of the things he brings up is the position of Israel. And, you know, I noticed that there's this Christian Zionist movement where they look at the gathering of the current state of Israel, the secular state of Israel, and the people that call themselves Jews, and whether they are or not is maybe, I don't want to say it's irrelevant, but I don't want to get into it in depth. But they do, they call themselves Jews, and they'll see this regathering and they'll almost idolize, you know, this secular state of Israel. And this has also led to a lot of problems in the Christian community with people like John Hagee. And I think Brent addresses some of that in the last part of that sermon. Do you want to roll that clip? It's probably about 4 minutes. If you want, Mike, we can fade it at the end of the clip where he goes into the closing prayer for the sake of time. If you're ready, Chris, we can roll that.
I'm not sure I'm following you. I think I kind of do on what you're saying about the identity stuff. And, you know, my position on what we call the state of Israel these days is that it's a counterfeit of the biblical Israel. And the John Hagees of the world have succumbed to a Talmudic, Kabbalistic sort of influence that is akin to the, I don't know, the Judaizers that you read about in the Bible. I mean, speaking of Galatians, you mentioned Galatians 3:27-28 in the first hour. Galatians 2, Paul says, it was because of the false brethren secretly brought in who had sneaked in to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, in order to bring us into bondage. And I would say back into bondage, basically. And so that's, you know, that whole, basically that's the whole conversation. You know, when Paul says, I opposed Cephas to his face, that was what was going on. Peter's getting all wrapped up in this legalistic kind of stuff. And, you know, even God himself says, here, Peter, eat this. And Peter's, you know, in the book of Acts, and Peter says, oh my gosh, I'm not going to eat anything unclean. And, you know, I feel like God's just saying, haven't we been down this road already, Peter? You know, a time or two, you know, the Last Supper, he's telling Jesus, I'll never, you know, Jesus says, you know, this is what's going to happen. Peter says, I'll never let that happen. And that just gets right back to that selfish thing that we're talking about.
To clarify my point, mm-hmm. there are prophecies in the Bible that speak of the regathering of Israel mm-hmm. for restoration.
Yeah.
And those are future. And when the secular state of Israel began to regather under like direction of the World Jewish Congress, Theodore Herzl, yeah. The Balfour Declaration,
yep.
And then the establishment of the secular state in, what was it, 48, 47 yeah. or 48? 48,
which Herzl predicted 50 yep. years earlier, and he said that, you know, in 50 years, maybe 2030, you won't see it, but 50 years, you'll see it for sure. Really?
So the Christians under Schofield specifically, and I don't know what his intentions were, you know, maybe he was confused, but they saw this regathering and like, ah, this is it. This is the restoration, you know, of blessing. But there's a restoration of judgment in Zephaniah 2. Basically, it says that Israel will regather for judgment. There will be yeah. a state of Israel that regathers for judgment.
Yep.
Lest the day pass like chaff. Let's, you know, in the Lord's judgment pour down upon you. So there's going to be a restoration for judgment. I think that's what we're witnessing. And the Christian Zionist movement mistook, whether purposely or not, some people were misled, whatever. They mistook that secular gathering of rebellious Israel for the yeah. future blessing.
Yeah.
And I think that's where you get Christian Zionism.
Absolutely. And when you know, you start looking back in history, we talked about this a little bit earlier, but I think when you start looking back in history, and we talked about this last week for that matter, whenever you bump into a guy who says, you know, I had some revelation from some shiny, flashy, I always kind of go, that's interesting. I got this revelation that no one else got. I'm special. Is it possible? Yeah, but what I hear in that is that you're special, and again, it's that selfish message, you know, where it's what, you know, and how is that always interpreted? It's always interpreted exactly as Pastor Brent said. Scripture is erroneously applied, and people use it to suit their own interests, essentially. And so that, to me, tells us where that so-called revelation came from.
Well, let's, if we will, let's roll that last part of the clip. It's just about 4 minutes. You can fade it at the prayer mark. The prayer is good, but for the sake of time and context, we'll just roll that 4 minutes of the sermon when he gets into the prayer. Go ahead, Mike.
Look in verse 10. When the 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place after 70 years. Now, what does 70 years have to do with your sticker on your bumper? You've got to ask these questions after 70 years. Israel's in captivity for 70 years. Verse 11 explains, I know the plans I have for you, the ones who are in captivity, the elders there for Jerusalem, declares the Lord. He has a future and he has a hope. Verse 12, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me. I will hear you. You'll seek me and find me when you seek for me with all of your heart. So verse 11, notice this verse is a future promise, not an immediate promise. Did you catch that? This is after 70 years. It's a future promise, not a today promise. Also, most, if not all, of the people that this promise is directly made to will perish and not even see its fulfillment. So the you in verse 11 is not singular, but it's plural. Not as a person, you, but as a nation, you. This is a corporate promise to the nation of Israel. Not to you for today. It's for Israel. Furthermore, this promise is given in light of captivity that the Lord has sent them into. And we've seen verse 12 to 14. Give the condition of the timing that the promise will come. And the condition is this: repentance. This is how you understand this verse in its context. Another thrown out verse is 2 Chronicles 7:14, similar verse. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. And folks, listen, that's not America.
That's right.
America has no promise from God to heal the land. This promise is given to Israel. Israel, Psalm 147 says, God's dealt with them in a way He has not dealt with any other nation. And there are land promises attached to these covenants we've been talking about. And that's why in Ezekiel 36, when the new covenant happens to Israel, He's going to bring them back to their own land. That land's a big deal to Israel. He's not talking about America. You can't apply this promise to America. America has no promise from God. In fact, we're under judgment right now from God. He's not saying if my people will humble themselves. He's saying if Israel as a whole will humble themselves. God's people do humble themselves. That's why they're God's people. Christians are who God's people are. You can't apply this to America. This is a corporate promise given to a corporate Israel under the old covenant, and it pertains to the land that was promised to Abraham. And whenever they are healed in their land, listen, the prophets say that the deserts will turn into water. The land will literally be healed according to Isaiah. Don't misapply verses. That's what I'm trying to get at. That's my whole point. I could have just said that from the beginning and stepped down. But I want to show you this. There's principles we can pull from these verses, of course. There's things we can see about God that are still true today. But we have to ask questions of the text. Who is the you? I hope this has helped you today. Take on and put on the full armor of God. Divide the word accurately. Ask questions of the text before you slap it onto a bumper sticker. Amen. Lord, thank you for the day you've given to us. Thank you for your word.
Yeah, it just went perfectly with the discussion before the clip. And I also wanted to bring up Romans 10, 9 and 10, this is a verse. These are verses that are used to evangelize people, and you can apply them. But really, in the context of Romans 9, 10, and 11, it's talking about the restoration of Israel in a future tense, that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. For with the heart one believes into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. Paul's differentiating there with what you verbally confess and what happens in your heart. There's got to be a heart change in whoever the true Israel is before the verbal confession is made and before the healing of the land is done. And it's very obvious that the healing of the land of Israel is not happening now. It's in constant turmoil, you know, with the Palestinians. So that healing has not yet taken place, so that this gathering that we see is not of restoration at this point.
Well, yeah, it was what Kelly Greenhill calls a coercive engineered migration. I think if you go back to the mid-19th century and that guy, Baron Edmund de Rothschild, spending $50 million to buy some land that was desolate and then applying some modern technology to not make it desolate, and then, you know, doing certain things without getting into all of the intrigue and sophistry, you know, I think it was a, you know, the false regathering basically. But the one point of distinction I would make, I think what was excellent there at the end, you know, principles we can pull, sure, you know, the literal application, but you know, it's literal application. You know, the folks that say that we shouldn't apply the Bible literally, I hold suspect immediately. So literal application is always a good thing. But, you know, like Pastor Brent said, archetypal, you know, examples, he said principles we can pull, but we have to ask questions of the text before slapping on a bumper sticker. And I would agree with that. The one point of clarification I would make is, how does Romans 2 and Romans 9 square with that? You know, because Jesus is the one who has broken down the barrier. And Paul says in Romans 2 and Romans 9, speaking of these seemingly disparate groups, he you know, makes this point of clarification, for example, in Romans 2. And it all, again, it's not us that are fancy or fantastic. It's God, you know, he's the one who does these miraculous things. So Paul says, you who boast in the law through your breaking the law, do you dishonor God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, just as it is written. And he's quoting Isaiah and Ezekiel. Excuse me. And he goes on, he says, for indeed circumcision is of value if you practice the law, but if you are a transgressor of the law, which obviously we all are, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, there is none righteous, no, not one, your circumcision has become uncircumcision, he says. And that whole conversation is interesting. Circumcision and baptism, that's a conversation for later. So if the uncircumcised man keeps the requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? Ooh, that's a mind bender. And he who is physically uncircumcised, if he keeps the law, will he not judge you who, though having the letter of the law and circumcision, are transgressor of the law? And then the last two verses, that's the punchline. But we're headed into a break, so I'll pause on that.
Yeah, okay, we'll kick it back to you on the other side.
Cool.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online
Kyrie Eleison,
focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
My heart is old, it holds my memories. My body burns a gem-like flame. Somewhere between the soul and soft machine.
Back with Endpoint Sight, Spiritual Health and Wellness Edition, Hour 2. Chris Hinckley, the Road Warrior. Jeremy from Kentucky. Hashing it out, Chris, you had a couple more verses to expound on regarding Israel. And if you're still getting water, I'll go ahead and make a point and kick it back to you. The wall of partition was broken down salvifically. Going full circle back to Galatians 3, there is no Jew or Greek, slave nor free, male or female, all can come to Christ equally, but those distinctions are still maintained in an everyday, I guess, life application. And we even see this with Israel. There will be a future time when Israel will have the land of Palestine and the blessings that were promised to them. But what we're witnessing now is a regathering of secular Israel in preparation for judgment upon them. But that, I just want to point out that distinction is still made between Jew and Gentile, because the Gentiles do not have any claim to the land of Palestine from anything I can gather in the scriptures. Your comments on that, and then get back to your two verses. That you were elaborating on. I think we lost Chris.
On the best chance you've got.
I'm going to continue on. After we finish this discussion and on into the last, 30 minutes of the broadcast, we are going to get into the Christian response to wokeness. There's a lot of good stuff there that entails how basically Marx, when Karl Marx penned the Communist Manifesto, he envisioned the proletarian rising up in revolution, and it never did happen. And why didn't it happen? Well, it didn't happen because there was a strong, in society, there were strong families and they were Christian. And so then you had this attack beginning to commence on families and Christianity in the 20th century. And we saw this culminate. It hit its crescendo, if you will, in the 60s sexual revolution, which was largely modeled after Weimar Republic of Germany. Anyway, Chris, I had some comments there on the scriptures that we were talking about Israel. And then I got into a little bit of a preview of the other side. Mm-hmm. If you want to go ahead with your points in the two verses you wanted to expound upon, I just made the point that the wall of partition was broken down salvifically. Galatians 3, there is no Jew nor Greek in Christ. Right. But yet, there still is a distinction between Jew and Gentile in that in a future time, Israel will inherit Palestine in a state of blessing. And the Gentiles have no claim to that. They have no claim to the land of Palestine, Christian or not. So there's still a distinction, but not salvifically. Coming to Jesus, we can all come on separate, on equal footing. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, that's maybe a discussion for another day. That's another, you know, hour or two broadcast. But that brings to mind other verses. So the punchline I was getting to in Romans 2, verses 28 and 29, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that which is the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter, and his praise is not from men, but from God. So that's interesting. And, I mean, there is, so there's, you know, there's a distinction, and we have a tendency, I think, to get caught up in what some say, you know, some call like looking laterally or horizontally instead of looking vertically. And then in Romans 9, Paul makes a similar point when he says, you know, it is not as though the word of God has failed, for they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel. What does that mean? He says, nor are all the children because they are Abraham's descendants, but through Isaac, your descendants will be named. And he's quoting, what is it? Numbers, or not Numbers, but Genesis 21. And he goes on and says, that is, it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are regarded as descendants. So what of this promise? And he goes on to explain, for this is the word of promise. At this time I will come, and Sarah will have a son, shall have a son. And not only this, but there was Rebekah also, when she had conceived twins by one man, our father Isaac. For though the twins were not yet born and had not done anything good or bad, so that God's purpose according to his choice would stand, not because of works, but because of him who calls. It was said to her, the older will serve the younger, just as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. What shall we say then? There is no justice with God, is there? May it never be, he says. And so he goes on, for he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. We talked about that a little bit last week too, I think. But, you know, he goes on, and, you know, it's an interesting paradox at work there, I think.
Let's get back to that on the other side of the break.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First are right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next are beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames, eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one, Rad. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
All right, come back to In Plain Sight, Spiritual Health and Wellness with Chris Hinckley and Jeremy from Kentucky, Hour 2. Please check out Hour 1 in the broadcast. We filled in for Lee Austin, Mr. Campbell, a.k.a. He's on vacation. And so check that out if you want to get the first part of this discussion. Chris, you were interrupted by the break.
Yeah, you know, just this whole paradox that just it's like the tumbling, it keeps tumbling, and I feel like what Paul is doing here in Romans is getting us to shed our, you know, it's exactly what the subject of, you know, today and last Wednesday are about, in my opinion, which is sort of focused on this propensity we have to see things through a very self-directed lens. Like, we always come back to this idea that we're fancy, or we're going to do a thing, or we're going to make a thing, or, you know, sure, God can do a thing or whatever, but we're going to make it happen, and he needs me to do it. We don't say those things, maybe, you know, we don't verbalize them or articulate them per se, but it's what we do, and it's easy to get sucked into that, I think, just kind of by our nature. And Paul talks about how the flesh and the spirit are at war in places like Romans 7, for example. So, you know, the Bible's telling us to, that, you know, we have to crucify the flesh, daily, and the world is telling us that, nah, you know what, it's not bad to encourage the flesh, maybe a little bit, okay, maybe a little more, maybe a little more. And so what is happening in this paradox in Romans 9, 10, and 11, I would say, is that Paul is just, it's this laundering process that you go through. You know, these groups that each think they're fancy are told, you know, over and over that it's God who's cool. He's the one who does the cool stuff. And so Romans 9, you know, Paul goes on, and that paradox about does not the potter have the right, a right over the clay to make from the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for common or dishonorable use, depending on the translation. And then he goes on and, you know, verse 30 of chapter 9, what shall we say then? The Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness attained righteousness, even the righteousness which is by faith, but Israel pursuing the law of righteousness did not arrive at the law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith. But as though it were by works, they stumbled over the stumbling stone. And this goes on. And, you know, ultimately, Paul gets to the point of what I would call the second arc moment, which I think we're, you know, with the COVID stuff especially, I think we're witnessing. Naomi Wolf has termed what has happened with the mRNA vaccines a baby die-off. I just wrote an article of the same title as her article, titled Dear Friends, Sorry to Announce a Genocide. That was the title of her article. And she is calling, you know, she's calling this a baby die-off. So the point is this laundering process, I would call it, where, you know, we're just kind of sanitized of this idea that we're fancy and God's the one who's fancy and cool, does these cool things. Paul says in Romans 11:25, well, he's you know, he's talking about verse 22, Romans 11:22, behold then the kindness and severity of God, to those who fell severity, but to you God's kindness, if you continue in his kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? But then this thing, this is like, bam, for I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery. What mystery? So that you will not be wise in your own estimation. And that's my point about this, what I would call laundering process, where he just keeps going back and forth, kind of like a parent, you know, where, you know, you got two squabbling children who are going, I'm, you know, mom and dad like me the most. No, they like me the most. They like me the most. And Paul's going, you know, back and forth to both of them, basically saying, dad's cool and you're just kids. But he says, you know, so that you would not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And what does that mean? You know, and I think we talked about it a little bit last week. To me, that means, in simple terms, there might come a day when the last child is born. How would that happen? Well, just ask the Malthusian transhumanist contingent, and they'll tell you, we'd rather grow kids in a petri dish, and you know what? We'll decide who's going to, you know, through biotechnology, we'll decide who's going to procreate, so to speak. Like, was it Bertrand Russell said in The Impact of Science on Society that doing that, he said, would be preferred to the natural method, which is creepy weird in the 50s to say the natural method. Yeah. And so you see this thing in view now with the genocide that appears to the soft kill, basically, of who knows how many millions of people, that seems to coincide with things like the Georgia Guidestones and who knows what else. And it really, to me, looks like this arc moment, like Paul is writing about, where maybe we're at that moment where we could see somewhere on the horizon the last child being born, you know, the natural way, as Bertrand Russell might say. But, you know, ultimately it's God who is, he's the one who, he's the decider.
I viewed the times of the Gentiles as a time when Gentiles would rule over the land of Palestine and basically the world in Daniel's, you know, vision of the fourth beast in Daniel 7. Mm-hmm. And that time would end when Christ returns and restores Israel. You know, there is a promise to Israel in the law of Moses about the greater Israel, what some have called the greater Israel, the land from the Mediterranean over to the Euphrates, encompassing northern Jordan and Saudi Arabia and over to the Red Sea. And that's the land that they were promised. They've never had that land. Even under Solomon, as powerful as he was economically, they didn't totally rule that. They didn't totally have that whole land. And so I think the secular Jews, or the secular Israel that we see, that we've seen take Palestine in the last 120 years, have thought that they could take that land. But that land can only be given to them when they repent. You know, going full circle back to 2 Chronicles 7, you know, when they repent, he'll restore their land. From a 40,000-foot view, I guess that's the way I see it. And so even though Gentiles are spiritually, you know, grafted into the vine, you know, they don't have a physical possession or promise of that land. And only the ethnic Jews do. Only ethnic Israel does. But that's the distinction that I was wanting to point out.
But Paul says that they're children of the promise if they're grafted in.
But then I would distinct spiritual promise from actual physical land. I still don't think any Gentiles are promised that land in Palestine.
How would you make the separation, though?
I don't see it in the scripture. I mean, that was promised to ethnic Israel when they repented. We may be on a agree to disagree thing here.
Mm-hmm.
But a great conversation nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the speculation, but I'm the decider, and I decide what is best. And what's best is for Don Rumsfeld to remain as the Secretary of Defense.
Exactly.
Well, with that, Chris, would you like to move on and maybe take a call? I mean, we're probably going to have to do a part three of this.
Yeah.
Because this is some deep, really good stuff. I've always wanted to have this conversation with you, so I appreciate you coming on and having it with me.
Yeah, it's, you know, one thing that's sort of nagging in the back of my mind that also I think of is Revelation 21, 9 and 10, you know, and there are some other passages, you know, Revelation 21, 9 and 10. Yeah, exactly. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and spoke with me saying, come here, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. And that is, in, you know, kind of like Revelation 2:9 and 3:9. It's a passage I don't ever recall hearing preached in any church. And I did some hopping for a while, you know, for different reasons. But you know, I haven't heard everything, but I don't recall hearing that preached. I hear other things, but not that.
Well, we may or may not get into the Christian response to wokeness. I really want to delve into that too. But
me too.
I think James is on hold. We have a caller, James in Vancouver. James, we didn't get to your call last week. Let us know what's on your mind. What do you have for the discussion?
Yes. Good evening. One of my close friends of 30 years ago was British police intelligence in Palestine from 1945 to 1948. And I got a good idea about what was going on there and how it started up and who started it and so on and so forth. But my prophecy for the future is that Israel may very well be turned into a glass parking lot in the not too distant future if Putin gets annoyed and drops some of those Satan 2 missiles on the property there. So I wouldn't look for the the good part of it to come just right away. So,
I'll respond real quick, and then I'm gonna kick it to Chris. Scripturally, and this is health and wellness, spiritual health and wellness. So it's from a biblical mindset. I don't see that. I see Israel being restored in a future time when they repent and accept their Messiah. So I don't see them being nuked out. But Chris, let me kick it to you. Get your response to James's comment.
I was sort of fixated on the friend from the 40s. I was thinking, James, you need to change your name to Dorian Gray.
It could be done. But you know, I was, first of all, I wanted to congratulate you two on the show. It's a welcome. Welcome fresh air from my point of view. But when you look at the whole situation historically, you know, the Romans in 60 AD, they were annoyed too. They'd had enough of what was going on there, and they just said, this is it, and you guys get out of there. And know that temple of yours, well, we'll help you fix that, see? So it isn't that there's no historical precedent for this, you see. So to think that, yeah, it's all going to come, you know, it's all going to be saved, that may not come that soon. So those are my comments for now. And there you go. So thanks for taking my call. I know.
Yeah, I was on mute. I was saying we'll have to skip the break, and if we take Fred from Iowa, Chris, do you want to take Fred, and we'll just get to our other content on another show?
Sure. Yeah.
Fred in Iowa, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you, Jeremiah or Jeremy. I got my hours mixed up, so I took a nap, and I didn't wake up until 10 minutes till 9 Central Time. But I'm sorry I missed the first hour. But not to be controversial, the United States is mentioned in the Bible, especially in in Revelation 13 it is. But I would like to say this with Chris and Jeremiah, Jeremy, and I know 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 10 callers who called in, that if we were all gathered together in a Bible study, that we could, and using the word as the standard and the rule, that we could have a Bible study together, and I don't think there would be much animosity, or if any, very little, because we would have to prove our point or what we believe or how we as individuals interpret different verses in the Bible. And when, say, a gathering of, as I say, you and Chris and 10 other callers calling RBN, we're searching for the same thing. And I would say brothers in Christ can, and I won't say debate, and it's not a spelling bee. It doesn't mean that any one individual is one the debate or the spelling bee is that we listen and teach and hear and teach each other to get a better understanding of what the Lord Jesus Christ, the Creator, is doing for us. And I won't take up any more time because there may be other callers. And I regret very much missing the first hour. Okay. Thank you.
I would say the first hour is essential to the context of the conversation. You know, Pastor Brent's, the clip that you played, especially when he says, you know, what do you think this passage means? I don't care what you think it means. I want to know what it means, whether, I forget exactly how he put it, but you know, whether you, before you existed, whether you existed or not. Yeah. In other words,
yeah,
I want to know what God wants me to know. And I would say to Fred's remarks, I think just to continue on in the spirit, I think, of what he's saying, I think if we're, you know, if it's edifying, it's, you know, iron sharpening iron, and if the spirit is moving, you know, we see like Galatians 5, the deeds of the flesh, immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, etc., etc. And then there's that, you know, fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22 and 23, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. I think that if it's, you know, it's edifying and we're humble and the Spirit is moving, then it's iron sharpening iron. And it's what he wants to reveal to us and what we can share with one another. And I think that speaks to what Fred is saying.
Wholeheartedly agree. I appreciate that. And that's why we're having this conversation. But thank you, Fred, for your call. Call back anytime. So we have just a few minutes left. I really wanted to get into the Christian response to wokeness. Maybe we
can
break that. Maybe we can break that seal and do a part three with our discussion. But no, it really is a thing. I mean, Marx, you know, when he penned the Communist Manifesto, he was expecting the proletariat to rise up in revolution, the workers. And that didn't happen, but you had a strong sense of family and religion, Christian religion, in that era. And so, well, we've got to subvert these two elements. You know,
I really believe that in the last 100 years, I really believe, you know, if we can dig around, it's so difficult in the internet era anymore. I mean, you go back and like look at all your bookmarks and stuff in your browser. If you have bookmarks that are more than 5 or 10 years old, you can see how much stuff has vanished from the web. And that's becoming the contextual lens through which people view things now. Who's reading books? And even if you are reading books, that's sort of siloed, as they say, or compartmentalized. And how much of that gets out and is shared or goes viral, as they say. And so, you know, it's getting more and more difficult. It's becoming more like what Orwell wrote in, you know, Eric Arthur Blair in 1984, that, you know, it's just there's no history. You know, history has stopped. Nothing exists except an endless present in which the party is always right. But if you can go back and look 100 years ago, I mean, there's literature. I mean, I've done shows over the last 15 years about things that were happening in, you know, like the early years of the FDR administration. There's just so much crazy stuff that was going on. So much, like, the envelope was being pushed. The point is, we are led to believe that a lot of this stuff is new and whatever. To your point about the family and faith and the bedrock, that has represented in America in particular, I think there's an effort to sort of gaslight that reality out of existence and to make us feel crazy if we even think it ever existed. But I think the propaganda was as hardcore or even more, it was more crude, but it was the same messaging that we're talking about today, 100 years ago in America. And I think that we have an unclear or an inaccurate view of that. I think what protected us then is the same thing you're talking about now. And I feel like the devil would have us believe that we were stronger back then and we're weaker now or something along those lines. And in reality, it's the thing that you just mentioned that kept us strong then and the same thing that keeps us strong now. And so I guess the point that I'm trying to make is we're a lot stronger now than maybe we would be led to believe or beguiled to believe.
There's some potential, but a lot of damage has been done.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about the family. Why did the communists in the early 20th century, target Christianity and the family? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why were they anti-fascist?
Yeah.
And fascism,
Why did General Patton say, you know what, maybe we should have been fighting with the communists and against the fascists instead of vice versa? Why did he say that? You know, I don't agree, but I think we should have resisted both. But why did he say that?
You mean go against Russia?
Yeah, go against communists.
Yeah.
Backwards.
There was this attack in the early 20th century. I mean, on the family, and if you want to define fascism, in current terms, that's like anybody that stands up against this, child tranny, like anal propaganda. But if you want to define it historically, the Supreme Court has a fascies over its building. The states together were strong. Where individually they were weak. I mean, you had that concept. Yeah. You have the concept of the family where you have an authoritarian leader, the father, and the family that all exists for the good of the family and not like individually. Wow, we're really going to have to go to a part three of this because the show is over.
Yeah.
But you know where I'm going. I mean,
yeah.
The attack on fascism, the family, and Christianity, that's all a common denominator.
Absolutely. The same old Neoplatonic plan to make the nanny state our mom and dad, and actually it's the devil who wants to be the leader of the nanny state, but whatever.
Thanks a lot, Chris. We'll try to schedule a part three to get into more in depth of this attack, and we'll have to end the show tonight. Thanks for tuning in, and stay tuned for V on the next show.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.